I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groanings, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about those streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'm gonna sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever.
Hallelujah.
He sought me, hallelujah, and he bought me, hallelujah, with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged
I love that song because it really is a testimony from my heart. All these years, I've tried to just keep falling in love over and over and over. And you know, our life is such, the imagination of man is a very dangerous place. The imagination in this head. You see, the devil is the prince of the power of the air. And imaginations normally and mostly come from him and his power and his ability to capture you and his ability to control you. He'll do everything in his power. The Bible says he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Constantly trying to devour. Constantly trying to take you bondage to him. That's his commitment. I want to preach this morning on a very important subject. I want so much that it be a blessing. I wish every new and regular people were here this morning. I'd like for everybody to get this sermon. Well, it'll be on Facebook Monday, Lord willing, everything goes fine. But I want to preach on victorious living. Victorious living. Did you hear those words? Victorious living. And I want you to think about this now. You got to understand that this world is just absolutely a place of darkness and bondage and evil. The world becomes more evil every day. It's growing like a weed. The world is a wicked place. And I'm going to tell you, the devil is out to get you, and you need to understand something. He can only get you if you let him. Don't you put your blame on the devil. You put your blame on yourself because you're the problem. And the devil has been so utterly defeated by Jesus Christ that he can do nothing that we don't let him do. Now, God can let him try us, and that happens in the Bible. You see it, that God lets the devil try us. I mean, he only does it though that we may grow, that we may learn how to deal with him, that we may not be children but adults who've grown up in the Lord. Every trial you have is just an effort of God to help you grow up and quit being a baby, quit being wimpy. Quit being subject to the winds around you and become a person who is in charge of yourself. A person who's in charge of yourself. The Bible says if you are not disciplined, that you're like a city without a wall. The Bible says that. Like a city without a wall. You have no hedge around you. You see, God can put a hedge around you, but God can't put a hedge around you if you're not going to be subject to the hedge. You jump over it, run around it, go past it, all kinds of things. Well, I want you this morning to understand this great truth of victorious living. I want you to live victoriously. I want you to be triumphant over everything the devil brings against you. And the world brings against you. And people bring against you. I talked with a couple this week who are coming to our church some. And they told me two things that have happened over the last days to try to get them out of this church. I mean, one man had a dream. Crazy sounding dream. And he interpreted it to the wife of this couple and tell her how she was at the wrong place and she needed to get out of here. Well, I know a little bit about the situation, and I know what's preached here is straight from the book. And I don't think that's true at all where they're trying to get them. You see, when you are in a place where the book is real, the devil can't stand it. The devil can't stand it. He don't want you in a church where the book's real. This church believes the book. Amen? How many believe the book? Let me see your hand. Raise it way up high. Now, I read to you from the book of St. John. One of the great chapters, and every chapter of St. John's wonderful. But chapter 10. And I want to talk about victorious living. Victorious living. Say that with me, would you? Everybody say it. Victorious I don't hear everybody. Oh, it's sounding better. Victorious living. Living in victory. Overcoming every day. Defeating everything that comes against you. Living in victory. Let me read. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in by the door, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now you need to listen to that, because if you're trying to go to heaven any way but God's way, you're a thief and a robber. Is that not what he said? If you enter in any other way beside the door. Who is the door? Jesus is the door. Jesus, the great Son of God. The eternal Son of God. Jesus is eternal. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the ending. He is from everlasting to everlasting. There is no doubt about him and who he is. So, if you enter in by any way except the door, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. I love that. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice. Hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Listen, for the sheep follow him because they know his voice. Now, you don't learn the voice of the Lord immediately when you get saved. You learn the voice of God because you grow and mature and become a strong Christian. Because you learn to discern. There is a discernment of the emotion, and there is a discernment of the spirit. The discernment of the emotion is dangerous. The discernment of the emotion is dangerous. I've known many preachers that only discern by their emotion. And there was a lack and a suffer in all they said, because they were not being led by the Holy Ghost. Listen to me now. It's so very, very important. When he goeth before his own sheep, when he putteth his own sheep out, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. If you don't know the Lord's voice this morning, you're never going to have victory in your life. You understand? Never, never. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. Isn't that beautiful? This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood him not, what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I love that. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Listen now, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. Now listen to verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to destroy. That's the devil. That's all his demons. That's all his emissaries. Everybody that follows him. Everybody that doesn't know the work of the Holy Ghost. Everybody that doesn't know the Bible, or every one of them, they're thieves and they're robbers. That's what he said, very plain. But the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Are you hearing me? The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it. How? Everybody's got to hear that word. That you might have it abundantly. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it abundantly. Oh, I want you to say that word abundantly with me. Now, if you've said it, you can sit down. If you haven't said it, say it before you sit down. Oh, I hear somebody whispering it. Hallelujah. I love that statement. I love that statement. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. If you think the Christian life is a cheap, dark, troublesome life, you're totally mistaken. You're totally mistaken. The Christian life is the most peaceable, the most well-blessed, the most wonderful, the most powerful life in all of this universe. There is nothing to match what belongs to a Christian. Or you say, Brother Chambers, I hear people having trials. Of course we have trials. A trial helps you grow up, be something beside a baby. The Bible said rejoice in those times that you might, you know, be blessed. You rejoice when you have a trial. You say, hallelujah, I'm growing up. Hallelujah, I'm getting stronger. Hallelujah, I'm becoming more mature. So God wants you to have a victorious life. I've got to get that to you this morning in a way that you never forget it. God wants you to have a victorious life. This life is not meant to be one dark valley after another. This life is not meant to be somebody who just lives by the frailties and the dark places and from crisis to crisis. God never ordained that. God ordained that you live a victorious life. God ordained that you live an overcoming life. God ordained that you be a happy Christian. Blessed is that man or that woman, that boy or girl who doesn't walk in the pathway of the world but lives in the things of God, meditating in the laws of the Lord day and night. I love the scripture. I know so many of them by which I find joy and satisfaction, by which I know I am the victor and the devil cannot stop me. He don't have enough ammunition. He doesn't have enough dark things. He doesn't have enough hard, miserable experiences to destroy a real Christian. A real Christian will overcome over and over and over again. Every time they have a tough place, they just get stronger. Every time the devil comes like a great Mack truck to take them down, they just stand up and keep on going. And God helps them day by day and month by month and week by week and year by year to get stronger and stronger. Now, are you hearing what I'm saying? How many of you have heard what I've said so far? Let me see your hand. Am I telling you the truth? Boy, I mean, I know by my own experience. Oh, yeah, I know. I've been under some bridges. But I've been over some bridges, too. And the bridges I've been under just make me grateful to God for the ones I've been over. That's how life is. Thank God for the victory. Thank God for the triumph. Oh, Brother Chambers, you've had too many privileges. I've had to fight for every privilege I've ever had. I've had to struggle to get to every victory I've ever experienced. I've had to believe and trust God and find me a place to pray for every good thing that's ever happened in my life. And there have been many. And I don't deserve any credit at all. But I'm telling you, there's a faithful God who wants you to live a triumphant and a victorious life. Hallelujah! A faithful God who wants you to have plenty of food to eat. He's not going to leave you hungry. He's not going to leave you hungry. It's amazing to me some of the things that God does. Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, I had 5 invitations to go to a Thanksgiving meal. I wanted to go to all 5 of them. But I decided that morning I'd just get in my yard and start working and cleaning up leaves. I've got enough leaves for all of us. And I worked several hours. I don't know. I worked several hours and went and sat out on the porch, and I started dozing off. I went out on the porch. Hadn't even took off my work shoes, and I was dozing off. I said, well, I believe I'll go in and just sit down in the chair and go to sleep. I went in, and I think I went to sleep. I'm not sure. But I remember saying, Lord, I've said no to all of my invitations for Thanksgiving dinner. And here I am now. I've worked near about all day, and I'm so tired. Father, send somebody to call me to tell them they hadn't eaten yet, that I can come eat Thanksgiving dinner with them. And I hadn't hardly got that prayer out of my mouth till my phone rang. And it was a man and woman that worked for the NRA, the National Rifle Association. I mean, they're big names in that organization, and traveled all over the world and trained people in carrying guns. And my phone rang. And Dan says, Brother Chambers, can you come over and eat supper with us? I said, you won't believe this, but I just prayed for somewhere to eat supper. And now here I am invited to one of the best places to eat, probably in the city. I'll be right there. Send me the street address. And they did, 15 miles across town. But I eat like a king. I'm not kidding you. And God literally made a banquet table in front of me, in front of all the enemies that might criticize and find fault. Because that's how God treats his children. Now, you better believe what I'm telling you. Please believe what I'm telling you, that God wants you to have the needs of your eye. He will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. He said that. He said that. God said that. He will supply all of your needs according to his riches. You ain't ever live so good as you are when you live in his riches. They are satisfying. They are complete. They are abundant. And he's never failed me in 66 years and a half. And I'm telling you, I've known too many great saints who've lived in the joys of the Heavenly Father and the joys that God provides. And it's the best life there is. If you want the best life, you walk with God. If you want the best life, you live obedient to him. If you want the best life, when you get in a tough place, you just get tough with it. God doesn't want a bunch of wimps trying to serve him. God wants men and women who grow up and become mature. And those are the people that God will bless with heaven's best. Well, hallelujah. Somebody raise a hand and thank him for it. Hallelujah. Now, I'm trying to get your attention. There's two things that keep you from God's best. This is my subject this morning, mainly, is to show you the things that keep you from God's best. Number one is the devil. And you know who number two is? The person sitting where you're sitting. The person who's got your hand in his lap or in the air or wherever. You are number two. The devil and you are the only enemies you've got. Amen. You say, oh, I know people that hate me. They're not your enemies. They're not your enemies. They can't do nothing against you. They can't pull you down. You just stand strong and do right. You stand strong and do right. They may be enemies, but you don't treat them like that. You turn them over to God. Love your enemies. Be good to those who deceitfully use you. Love them and show them the grace of God. Do not let anything they say bother you. It's nothing the devil says or his people say that bother you. It's what you do with it. It's what you do with it. And so you have two enemies, the devil and you. I think we ought to deal with the devil first. Does that sound okay to everybody? I think it's better to deal with the devil first than with you. I might get further. I may ought to just preach the first one and not even get to the second one, but that wouldn't be complete. But number one, the devil is your enemy. Now I want you to go with me to the book of Ephesians. Let's see what the Bible says about the devil. I want you to see what the Bible says about the devil, your enemy. Go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 12. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and verse 12. Listen now. Listen. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're going to spend a minute there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, I'm not talking about you now. I'm talking about others around us. Flesh and blood. Enemies. And there are many enemies in this world. There are many enemies in this world. There really are. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, there's four levels of evil in that verse. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Four. That includes every demon and every devil, every dark spirit, every fallen angel, every demon spirit. That includes everything in the devil's arsenal. Everything the devil's got. It's all included right there in those four things. They are dark, evil powers. They are invisible powers. When they show up, you don't see them. When they come creeping up behind you, you only can know it by some feeling that's dark and isn't good or negative or doubtful. You don't know it by what you see. And they're everywhere. Our world is full of dark powers. And they are determined to take you down. They're determined to destroy you. They are enemies of your soul. And the reason some of you have never grown up in the spiritual realm is because you let the devil completely control your mind. You let him control your time. You let him control your habits. You let him control anything about you. And you can't grow because the devil has got a complete world of negativity coming against you. Don't you tell me it's not out there, brother. You're going to face it this week. And the only victory you have over it is the Lord. Hallelujah. But the devil has no power if you don't give it to him. Hallelujah. He can scream at you until your ears hurt. But he can't hurt you as long as you don't listen to him. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What is it that keeps me from praying? The devil. Oh, I know you got a part in it too. But it's the devil's idea. The devil has enough things to possess your mind that he can keep you busy thinking his thoughts all day long. How many of you have ever laid in the bed at night and you go to sleep and you start dreaming the craziest old dream? Let me see your hand if you've ever done that. Come on, raise it way up high. I know there's nobody here that isn't guilty. You're going to have those crazy dreams. Why? Where does a crazy dream come from? Well, mainly, sometimes it's because you ate too much. I'm going to be honest with you. I had trouble with that a couple of times this week myself. A lot of times it's because you ate too much. But mostly, the devil is the prince of the power of the air. The air. The realm right above your head is where Satan reigns in his evil. And he is full of imaginations. I got to studying this week about the danger of imaginations in the human heart. The imaginations that come against you. If you're not very discerning, and the devil can make you think he's God. If you don't think the devil can substitute God, the Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost, he does. He does on a regular basis. And you have got to know the difference in the voice of the shepherd and the voice of the thief. You've got to know the difference. And that's where imaginations come in. And that's why you've got to keep your mind full. If some old negative thought comes against you or comes to your mind against your church, you can be pretty sure God ain't in it. It's nothing but your imagination. You begin to feel critical. And Brother Chambers, well, you know, I'm human. There's times when it would be justified to maybe not like something I say or something that came out of my lips. I tell you right now, I didn't mean it. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing. I wouldn't do damage against one of you. I would answer to God if I did damage against anybody in my congregation. So you can pretty well know that's the devil's business. But in all kinds of things, it may not be your pastor, maybe the man you work for. It may be your wife or husband. It may be just some old religious idea. The world is full of dark religions. I am overwhelmed by the doctrines coming out of the religious world. I'm overwhelmed. It's hard for me to believe that so many doctrines can come out of the church today. When I was saved 60 years ago, for years I never heard nothing but truth. For years I never saw nothing but truth. For years, it was like everywhere I went, it didn't matter what kind of church, what kind of name, it was just good things that you could love. But it's not that way anymore. So you got to keep this mind. This is why that brain of yours needs to be saturated with the Bible. You need to know that Bible like you know the back of your hand. You need to know that Bible in such a manner so that anything you hear that doesn't sound biblical, you can go quickly and find out, because the devil is out to destroy you. He cannot stand the thoughts of you in heaven. Can you imagine what the devil feels when for a moment of time he would think of you, any one of you, being over there on the side of eternal glory? He can't stand it. He wants you to burn just like he's going to burn. He wants you to go to hell just like he's going to go to hell. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness in high places. That's both spiritual and natural. Our world is full of darkness all over the political arena. Our world is full of darkness all over the academic arena. Our world is full of darkness all over the religious arena. Our world is full of darkness. I don't care which way you're looking. There's darkness everywhere. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. See, so you got an enemy who goes about as a roaring lion, just watching. See, he's looking for you to put yourself in a trap. He's looking for you to get some thought on your mind that he can then inject. Now, let me show you something. Demon spirits cannot just walk up and attack you. Are you listening? Demon spirits cannot just walk up and attack you. A demon spirit has to watch you. It has to catch you in thinking or saying something that opens the door to him. Are you getting that? Anybody hear that? Let me see your hand. Are you listening? Some of you aren't listening, or you aren't not raising your hand. Which is it? The devil is watching you. If you dress in some old sexy way, the devil said, now, that's a good way for me to set a trap. If you run your mouth just without even thinking, just talking negative, ugly talk, the devil said, oh, I think I found a door. There are a multiplicity of doors that you can open in your own life that gives an opportunity for the devil to come in. I see sometimes a young boy, and he will start dressing sissy. He will start dressing with a feminine kind of dress style. And the devil sees that. And he comes with a homosexual spirit and gets a hold of that sexy dress, that feminine dress on that young man. You say, Brother James, I don't believe that. Well, I can give you plenty of data to prove that. The same with women. The reason the devil will do his best to get a woman wearing men's clothing, because he wants to bring against her a feminine Jezebel spirit. And the devil sees a woman dressed like a man, and he will attack her with a Jezebel spirit. The devil is watching everything in your life and every door you open that allows a spirit of evil to come in your life. That devil is looking for the opportunity. Woo, I feel this. Roar chorus. Somebody raise your hand and pray with me. Come on, raise your hand up high and pray with me. Hallelujah. Run some more. Hallelujah. The devil is watching every spirit about you. He cannot touch you until you open the door. That is the most beautiful thing in the world, Brother Danny Lawless, is the devil can't touch me as long as I don't open the door for him. I got to let him in. I got to let him in. You got to let him in. And anything in your life that you know is contrary to that Bible, and you know it's contrary to good old solid masculinity and femininity. Anything in that world that you open the door for, you are setting a trap for yourself. Now, I didn't plan to preach this, but I know this is right on target. I've been studying all week about the danger of an open mind that just lets the mind free. The reason you can't listen to this garbage music is because this garbage music becomes a door for demon spirits into your life. You listen to rock and roll music. You listen to dark music. I'm telling you, you're opening the door. You're opening the door. And the enemy will come. So you understand what I'm saying. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness in high places. See, our life is subject to becoming a vehicle that the evil one can end and take us into a trap and steal our life. There was a woman recently who apologized to America. She was the woman who started the whole idea of women dressing like men. And she said, I am repentant and apologetic to what I did to America for this whole loss of masculinity and femininity has come about because of what I introduced into the world. And that's just a little subject, and I didn't mean to make it too big a part of my preaching this morning. I want you to know that there are powers of evil that are out to get you, but you have the ability and you have the spirit. Your capacity, and you have the wisdom of God if you live in that Bible to say no. Think about this whole transgender descent in which America is in the process of. What do you think the idea of a little girl thinking she's a boy came from? Did you read recently the doctor who said to the world of maternity, you don't have no right to tell a little girl that's born to mom and daddy, you're a little girl. You don't tell that mama what that kid is, whether it's a boy or girl. That's not your choice. They can make that choice when they get old enough to make that choice. And of course, they didn't tell you that in between them being born and making that choice, they gonna have the power of influence. And they're going to have the news media. They're going to have the magazines. And they're going to have the books. And they're going to have the songs. And they're going to have all the mess that brings that kid into the place that they would make such a decision and say such a thing. But it wasn't there when they were born. I'm telling you, not the ugly part. The right part was there. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm telling you, the devil doesn't want you to live a victorious life. But he's helpless. If you'll stand up like a man or stand up like a woman and say, I will follow God and nothing else. I will follow. Oh, raise your hand if you can say that with me. Living in the Bible, living in the things of God, living according to the scripture. Tell your boys and girls what I preached this morning. It'll be on Facebook tomorrow, internet for weeks to come, or Facebook weeks to come. Get them to listen. Get them to hear what I'm preaching, because I'm telling you, our world is going to hell in a basket. 100 miles an hour or more, because the devil is out to destroy. The devil is out to destroy. And I'm not one that preaches a lot on exterior. You know me better than that. You know that's not my cup of tea. I just want to get you this Bible. I want to get you this word. But that really got a hold of me this week. And I'm trying my best to help us to live victoriously. Hallelujah. I want you to live victoriously. And don't think you can condemn people for what they're doing. The Holy Ghost has got to do that. And you just love them. You show them the things of God. I don't deal with new people by going after little things in their life. I deal with them by being a good pastor and loving them and taking time with them. But sometimes I have to preach truth. You do understand that? How many appreciate me preaching truth this morning? May I see your hand? Do you mind? Do you mind? Just telling you the truth. We live in a dark day and things are evil. Now, let's go. And I know I'm about to go over time. I don't mind. I hope you don't. The next is you. How can I make me sensitive that I don't allow the enemy to come against my mind and destroy me? I've learned a long time ago, I have got to be a disciplined person. I've got to be so careful with my life. I've got to be so careful. I know I've been saved a long time, but I still have to pray daily for God to, you know, the Bible talks in the book of Hebrews about sprinkling the imagination of man's heart. Say those words, will you? Sprinkling with the blood of Jesus, the imagination of man's heart. He's talking about the Holy Ghost cleaning up your mind. He's talking about the Holy Ghost by the blood of Jesus purifying your thinking so that you think the pure things, so that you think the right things. That's in Hebrews chapter 10, about verse 19 or 20, if you want to go read it. But I want to go to 1 Thessalonians, and I want to talk a little bit about sanctifying your body. Sanctifying, that's right what I was really preaching. Sanctifying your mind and your thoughts. Now listen to this. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing. Listen to that. Rejoice evermore. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God, Christ Jesus, concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Now, I got to stop there a minute. I preached something this morning, and there's somebody sitting in this building who needed to hear what I just preached. And you know that God's been dealing with you, and you've quenched the Spirit. You've just held him at bay. You push him off. He gets a hold of you that you need to get saved, and you want to wait another day or two. He gets a hold of you, you need to be set apart, and you need to be sanctified. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But you're too busy with other things. You're too busy. He said, don't you quench the Holy Ghost. He's dealing with you this morning. Please don't say no. Please don't say no. How about everybody in the building raising a hand and say yes to the Holy Ghost, would you? Yes. Yes. Come on, say it out loud. Yes. Yes to the Holy Ghost. Raise your hand and say yes to the Holy Ghost. Yes to the Holy Ghost. Yes to the Holy Ghost. That's the opposite of quenching the Spirit. Saying yes is the opposite of saying no. How many knew that yes and no are different? How many knew that saying yes is like saying like not saying no? Well, that's what I'm talking about. You need to set your life apart. You need to be sanctified. And sanctification is something wonderful. The blood of Jesus can do it. But I'm here to tell you, he can't sanctify you until you want to be sanctified. If you don't want to be sanctified, you'll never be sanctified. But if you get hungry to be sanctified, you won't even need to come to this altar. It'll happen to you somewhere in your prayer life, somewhere in your meditation, somewhere in your Bible study. It'll just come like a storm. God wants to sanctify everybody that wants to be sanctified. Woo! See, this is your only protection, is the blood of Jesus wrapped around your head and wrapped around your heart. And the Word of God so deep ingrained in your brain. Oh, the Bible says, I'm trying to remember a scripture, and I haven't quoted it in a long time, about the Bible, the engrafted Word. That's it. The engrafted Word. He wants to fill you with the engrafted Word. You know what the engrafted Word is? It's when God opens up your heart by the Holy Ghost and puts it right inside. He engrafts it in you. It makes it a part of you. And you start thinking like the Bible. You start thinking like the Bible. That's the beauty of a growing Christian. That's the beauty of a maturing Christian. Longer and more, they begin to think like the Bible. They begin to think like the Bible. My kids fuss at me. All I know how to talk, they think, is the Bible. And they're right. When you're in sin, when you're doing your own thing, the old papa gets on your nerves. because he preaches the truth to you. I don't know anything else. I can't talk other things. Brother Marlin can talk hunting, and I'm glad he can. And I'm so upset that he hunted 3 days and didn't even get one deer. How many would say that's horrible for a man to hunt 3 days and not get one deer? Don't you think that's terrible, Brother Charles? You hunted 3 days and you got one, didn't you? You wanted two. I knew that. He wanted at least two. And see, when he gets a deer, he pays tithes on it. And I'm his pastor. And I'm the recipient of the tithes. And so I was praying for two deer. Didn't get it. That's okay. That's okay. Well, I don't know how to think hunting. Nothing wrong with it. I love it. I just don't know how to think it. I'm so glad I'm so full of the word. Because I'm a pastor. I'm dedicated to you. If you could know, can I be honest a minute? If some of you who are so careless, if you knew how much it hurts when you got sweetheart people that you love and you can't get them to do anything but play around with their life. They don't know what being faithful is. They don't know what digging in this Bible is. And I'm afraid to look at the time. But listen to me, church. These scriptures are plain, just wonderful. It goes on to say, despise. Couldn't see the word. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Now listen to this. Abstain from the all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. How many of you can see evil when it shows up? Let me see your hand. Can you see evil when it shows up? Sure you can. What does the Bible say do with it? Abstain from it. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say the last verse, 23. He said, "The very God of peace," listen to this, "sanctify you wholly, body, soul, and spirit." Notice he said body, soul, and spirit. Is there anybody here that there's four parts to you? Anybody? No, you don't have no four parts. Your body, your soul, and your spirit. And he said, "The very God of peace sanctify you, body, soul, and spirit." He wants to make you as clean as the riven snow. He wants to make you as pure as a gushing water spring right out of the side of a mountain. He wants to make you as pure as the sunrise is in the morning. He wants to make you so clean that when the devil comes by your house, you just plain don't open the door. Never forget about reading of an old prophet of God. The devil was on his trail. And one day, there came a big knock on the door. And he ran to the door. And there was a demon spirit standing outside. And he said, "Sorry, you're not welcome in this house." And he slammed the door in his face. No way. I heard a great preacher from South Africa. He was preaching down in Mexico or Puerto Rico. I can't remember. Church of God event many years ago. And he's told in the pulpit how the devil had been coming against him. And he told of all the different ways that evil spirits was trying to lasso him and trying to take charge of him. And how over and over God was giving him the victory. I'll never forget that as long as I live. Great old man of God out of South Africa. It was a beautiful sermon. I'm here to tell you, the devil is after you. But he has no power. If you stand your ground, square your feet, depend only on the Bible, trust only in the Lord, know that you're sanctified and washed in the blood, and trust only in Him. Would you stand up if you're ready to live victorious, a victorious life? I love you this morning. I preach with all of my heart, saints. You know I love you. Brother Carlos, you know I love you. You know I love you, saints. Love you, brother. Brother Bob, I don't know where Brother Buck is, but I don't like you coming without him. I love you, Brother Bob. God's given us people. Brother Jose and Gloria, they'll probably be back tonight. They're coming. The Smothers called this morning, couldn't be here. Others are out of town on Thanksgiving.
Back over the mountains and the valleys where I've been, and it makes me know I love him so much more than I did then, and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And there's a hand that I hold on to through each valley and each trial. And there's a shoulder that I lean upon as I face another mile. And there's a love that I can depend on, and it's fresh and new each day. And with joy my heart is overflowing. That is why I say that I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Oh, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by.
Would you stand and sing it?
Between my Lord and I, just keep falling in love with him all over. Keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Oh, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.
I want another verse of that in a moment. But I want him to know how much I love him this morning. Hallelujah. I feel that sweet love of my Father. You know, you can't love him up without he loving you down. Did you know that? Hallelujah. Every bit of the love that goes up from you, that's real. Now, if you love him with just words, and you just responded to the emotion that the preacher wants out of you, and all you're doing is just kind of going through the motion, it ain't going to do a thing to heaven. But I'm telling you, when you begin to love him like you love him, heaven responds with that. Would you love on him? Would you love on him? Lord, I just love you this morning. I want worship to fill this house. I love singing. I love preaching. But I want worship to be dominant among us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
There's a hand that I hold on to.
Hallelujah.
Through each valley and each trial. And there's a shoulder
that I lean upon as
I face another mile.
Hallelujah.
And there's a love that I can depend on. And it's fresh and new each day.
Hallelujah.
And with joy my heart is overflowing. That is why I say that I keep falling in. days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Oh, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. Just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling.